During World War II, the U.S. Army Air Corps used a bomber nicknamed the Flying Fortress to undermine the war-making machine of Nazi Germany. Just a handful of these Boeing B-17 planes are still flying, and one of them is visiting Iowa this week. Iowa Public Radio's Amy Mayer took off from Ankeny in it with a special honoree.
As a military aircraft, this came out of the factory not intended for hauling passengers. We have a special exemption from the FAA that allows us to haul you folks with us.
With puffy clouds in a blue sky overhead, volunteers from the Experimental Aviation Association prepare to bring 10 people on a ride in the bomber called the Aluminum Overcast. One of the passengers is 94-year-old James Sassaman.
I flew all my mission from 1944.
Sassaman worked as a navigator, one of 10 crew members, on a plane just like this one. It has 13 machine guns positioned in the nose, the belly, the top, and the tail. It also has a large bomb bay. Most of the plane is restored and accessible.
You didn't mention the bomb turret.
We can't access it.
Yeah, I don't care.
The tail gunner position is also closed off, so a mannequin in a flight suit and goggles sits there, visible to people outside. Some other modifications have been made to modernize the plane for safety and ease of flight. But today's pilot, Rick Fernald, says it's definitely not like flying a modern aircraft.
The airplane is challenging to fly. 1935 technology, it's very heavy on the flight controls. There's no boost on any control surface.
Fernald concedes an iPad helps the pilots monitor weather and air traffic. He's flown for more than 50 years, as a teen, in the Air Force, and as a commercial pilot. He's volunteered to fly this B-17 for 20 years.
I refer to her as the beast because she's always shopping to try to get the best of you.
Fernald and the Experimental Aviation Association hope seeing the plane educates others about the work of bomber crews during World War II.
My father was a tail gunner, so that's my attachment to the airplane.
There'll be 6 seats here in the back.
A short ladder gives access to the main cabin, which has a handful of web seats equipped with latching seat belts, somewhat more rugged than your traditional commercial plane. There's a small radio space and then a narrow bridge over the bomb bay. Then the cockpit, and below that, the nose gunner. The flight is short, just long enough for most of us to get a chance to explore the whole plane. Period radios, charts, and of course, munitions give a feel for how cramped the space would have been. But nothing about a beautiful summer day over central Iowa can offer any sense of what it was like to fly a war mission. Fernald lands the plane as gently as anyone might hope for, though some creaks and squeaks attest to its age. Ken Miller of Marshalltown brought his great-uncle here today. It was Miller's first flight in the B-17.
It was awesome. Great day. Glad I did it.
And he came away with an appreciation for what Sassaman survived in such a thin-skinned plane.
I knocked on the wall, and it wouldn't take much flak to you see where the flak could really do some damage.
Sassaman took his tour of the nose and cockpit only after the plane was back on the ground at Ankeny Regional Airport. Then he exited from the cockpit the way the pilots do.
Yeah, all right. Thanks, spry, young man.
But with a little more fanfare. The public has another opportunity to see the plane this weekend in Mason City. In Ankeny, I'm Amy Mayer, Iowa Public Radio News.